Welcome, one and all, to the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show. I'm your host, Robert Rogers, the founder of Parkinson's Recovery in the marvelous year of 2004. As you can see by the origination of Parkinson's Recovery, we are now 12 years old, or perhaps I should say young, discovering lots of natural options that are helping individuals who currently experience the symptoms of Parkinson's find ways to reverse those particular symptoms. Now, my show today, I've been looking forward to now for literally months. It has to do with EMF exposures. In other words, any kind of an exposure that comes from a cell phone, a computer, or a cordless phone, or even from electrical wiring. Now, I've identified an individual who has become rather an international expert in identifying the health hazards of these types of electronic devices, but more importantly, finding solutions and ways of healing the problems that these particular devices actually hold. Now, my guest is Lloyd Burrell, whose website is www.electricsense.com. So that's www.electric, and then joined it together with the word sense, sense.com. Lloyd Burrell, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be a guest on the radio show today.
Yes, hello, Robert.
Hello. Hello. It's nice to hear from you.
I wasn't sure you could hear me. Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the very flattering introduction.
Well, I must say to everyone that as we're conducting this particular interview, I think you'll be fascinated to even just visit Lloyd's website that has a wealth of fascinating information that I found to be extremely valuable. Well, Lloyd, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So my story, how it all began for me, this whole EMF thing, was one day in 2002, my cell phone rang. I took it out of my pocket, and I felt a strange reaction. I say strange reaction. It was no more than that initially. And so a little bit disoriented and slightly dizzy. But nothing more than that initially. And I finished the telephone conversation, which lasted only a few minutes. And I put the phone back in my pocket. And, well, a few minutes later, the phone rang again because at the time I was running a holiday rental business. And it was February, and that was kind of the time that people were calling in to make bookings. And the cell phone I'd only had since 1998, so this is 2002, so I'd only had it sort of 4 years. And the cell phone was actually a rather wonderful thing because it allowed me to get out of the office. And so I was working on the parks. It was a park with these high units on it. And I could stroll around the park and people would call me and they'd ask for information about bookings. And it was great because I could kind of do two jobs at once. And I love being outside rather than, you know, stuck in an office. And so the phone rang again a second time. And then it's this rather strange reaction turned into an unpleasant feeling. And really, within a very, very short time, I had a pain on the side of my ear, which was, you could compare it to electric drill boring into the side of your head. I had this intense pain. And really, that was, it started that quickly in a very, very short time. I started experiencing these symptoms. And so these were initial symptoms when I was using the cell phone. And so eventually, when I say eventually, it was a matter of days, I managed to get myself around to the doctors, and I'm not a big one for doctors. I've hardly had a day off sick, you know, my whole life. I've always been one to sort of muddle through. And but this thing, obviously, there was something to it because it persisted. So I went to see my doctor, and he was a friend. And he gave me the once-over, prodded and poked, and he said, you know, he took my blood pressure, and he looked me in the eye, and he said it was stress. So I said, okay, I thought, we'll humor him, it's stress. I put the cell phone next to my ear, I've got the pain, I take it away, there's no pain. Okay, so he said, look, you know, take a vacation, go away, take a few days with your family, come back, I'm sure you'll be fine. So this was February, so it was actually the kids' holidays, so that worked rather well. I took his advice, and I wanted to believe that he was correct in what he was saying. And so we went away for a week, and I didn't use the cell phone, and I was perfectly fine. The Monday morning, I arrived to go back to work, and literally sort of 9:05, 9:10 or whatever, the cell phone rang, and boom, that was it.
Oh.
Back in there again, same symptoms again. And that's how it all started. The slippery slide into what I now know to be electrical sensitivity. And that was only the kind of the beginning, because so not through any choice, I had to stop using the cell phone because the pain was so great, and I started to work in other ways, like using the computer, and then I started to react to the computer, to my laptop firstly, and then to my desktop computer, and I started to react to everything, really, my TV, the car, the car radio, and even my regular landline, that I was getting symptoms from that at one point. So that's how it all started. And then really from there, it really for 2 years, I literally thought I was going crazy. This thing was just because I went from obviously back to the doctors, and the doctor said, well, okay, we'll send you to a throat specialist, and then he found nothing, then we'll send you to a neurologist, and she found nothing, and then so on and so forth. And I was going for all these tests and scans and everything, and really they could find nothing wrong with me. So I kind of decided that well, I was pretending there was nothing wrong with me, but all the time knowing there was. And I was kind of going crazy with this thing, because I was kind of living a lie, because I'm not really one to talk about, here I am today talking about it because you're asking me about it, but I don't really go around talking about this because, you know, that's the way I am. Although it was a big problem, obviously, and I was just kind of doing the best I could. And I continued pretending everything was okay when it wasn't for 2 years. And then one day, I got my newspaper through, because I'm still someone who reads the newspaper to this day. I know a lot of people don't read newspapers anymore. But in the newspaper, so it was an article, it's quite a serious newspaper, it's called the Daily Telegraph, which is, you know, quite an authoritative newspaper in the UK. And in there was an article about a guy who was CEO of a big company on the UK Stock Exchange. And he was talking about this guy, and this guy couldn't use a cell phone, couldn't use a computer, drove around in an old car, had to dictate everything to his secretary, and even had to switch off the electricity at night when he went to sleep. Hmm. And in this article, they put a term to this, what I was experiencing, which was electrical sensitivity. And that was it for me. It was like, whoopee.
Yeah, really.
I'm not crazy, and I'm not the only person on the planet who's got this thing, and that's how it all started.
Wow. So what exactly were the range of symptoms that you experienced over this rather long couple of year period of time?
Well, the symptoms I experienced for, it was really took me the best part of 10 years to get over this. And so the symptoms, there are the sort of the short and the longer term symptoms, but short term. So there was the, you see, I was very fortunate, and I count, you know, I realize that now, because it was, I put the cell phone to my ear and I got the pain. I took it away, no pain.
Yeah.
So it was that obvious that it was the cell phone. And then from that, I was getting a very clear reaction to these other devices in my home and workplace. And so I was able to mitigate my exposure as best I could. And it was all a little bit Keith Robinson, you know, very sort of, I didn't go about it very rigorously at the beginning. But the exposures were, the symptoms, so it was, the initial symptoms were, with the cell phone, it was the pain at the side of my head where it's holding the cell phone, and I get the warm ear, I get the tingling in my head, and sometimes I get hot flushes, and I would get similar symptoms also when I was using a computer. I never got into Wi-Fi because that was 2002. So the Wi-Fi, obviously, it was... very, looked kind of a good idea as it does to most people, but for me it was always a complete no-no. So I never got into the Wi-Fi, but yeah, just the regular computer, I was getting the same kind of symptoms, the hot head, the prickly skin, that kind of thing. And then from there, over time, because I'm a bit of a stickler for punishment, because I tried to carry on, so I stopped using the cell phone, but I carried on because obviously you've got to carry on, and I needed to work for a whole lot of reasons. So I carried on using the computer, and I tried in various ways to reduce my exposures. So I was still getting the symptoms, and one of the things I had was massive fatigue. Really, I could go to bed, you know, very early at sort of 9:30. And get up the next morning at 8 o'clock, or, you know, sleep like 12 hours, and I get up and I'd be more tired than when I went to bed. And I would just be like a zombie all day. And then there were all kinds of symptoms, digestive problems. I was suffering from high blood pressure. I got weight gain. I suffered from joint pains also. Just a whole load of things. It really just knocked me for six, this thing. It just completely knocked me for six. And so I was just so fortunate that there was this very clear correlation between these devices and my symptoms, that I was able to take some steps early to reduce my exposure.
Now, we're connecting in an electrical system here, and I believe you're probably connecting through Skype. What are you doing right now to protect yourself from these exposures?
Right. So, really, it's what I learned the hard way is, well, the first thing is that for people that are listening, and your audience, I guess, are people that perhaps have Parkinson's disease, or they're interested in it, or they know somebody who has Parkinson's disease. So the thing is, what I'm talking about here is, you know, there's no, firstly, just to answer a very indirect question, you've not asked me this, but I feel it's important to put this out there, is that the link between EMFs and Parkinson's, I believe there is one. That's the first thing. I believe there is one simply because EMF exposures affect us at the cellular level. They affect us right down to the DNA. They affect us in every way imaginable. So they affect our the our genes. They affect our immune systems. There's neurological effects, and there's all kinds of diseases which are linked to these exposures through studies. But there are no, as I know of, there are no diseases linked. There are no studies linking Parkinson's disease with these EMF exposures. That's not to say that there isn't a link, because I believe there is. What we do know is that self-harm, because as I understand it, Parkinson's is to do with the brain not producing dopamine. And what I know about cell phones is, and there's been studies on this, is that cell phones affect the dopamine production. They actually stimulate, they've been found to stimulate it. So there is a link there. But what I'm saying, in any case, Parkinson's or no Parkinson's, what we know is that these EMF exposures affect everybody. They affect everybody. And the studies are very clear on that. And they affect us in just a myriad of different ways, and that's really the hard thing to deal with, because people are suffering from different symptoms, and unless there is a direct correlation like I had, then they don't realize, they don't know that it's the EMFs that are triggering this. I won't say they're necessarily causing it, but they are triggering it. And so that's really important. But to answer your question in terms of what I do, so let me just tell you what I did at the beginning, is that I was like, or I am, like, the thing is, I am just an ordinary guy. I'm actually a chartered accountant, which is like a CPA. That's how I started life. And nothing really, in a sense, nothing prepared me for this, although when I look back, actually, there were things that prepared me for this, but for this challenge, if you like, which is actually, I saw it as something terrible, but then I began to, over time, I realized it was a tremendous opportunity, because it's certainly the most meaningful thing I've done in my life, is to get involved to help people with this, and to talk about this. And so for that, I feel very blessed that I'm in this position, and that I'm talking to you today, and that I'm able to share what I've learned and share this information, and very happy to do that. And so what I did is I tried every gadget I could get my hands on, every diode, every pendant, every chip, everything you stick on the back of your phone, everything you stick on the back of your computer, a bit of software you put in your computer, everything, every quick fix you can think of, I tried. Because I just wanted to buy my way out of this, all I wanted to do was just get on with my life. Because my life was actually going rather well at the time, because that's the thing, when the doctor said to me, it's stress, it was like, I'm not stressed. This is everything's going great. I started a business in 1997, and it was really taking shape. We were beginning to do well, and I was happily married, living in a new home, great relationship, two kids, looking after myself as well, in terms of nutrition. And in terms of my physical health, I thought I was doing everything. And so this was really totally a bolt out of the blue. And so when it arrived, I just wanted to get back to my normal life as quickly as possible. And when the doctors were saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with you, then I was, in a sense, kind of buying into that. I was kind of just getting on with my life. And then at the same time, everything I could find on the internet or anywhere else locally that could deal with this, and there were lots of devices on the internet which supposedly deal with EMS. I'm talking about harmonizing chips and so on. And that's the direction I went. I tried all that. And nothing worked.
No.
And so that led me to eventually actually doing what I should have done, which was beginning to measure my exposures. And it's actually very simple to measure your EMF exposures because there are devices that can do this. And so that's what I did. And I set about creating an environment in which I could live. And really, my goal was ALAR. And ALAR is just a shortened way of saying as low as reasonably possible. So I was aiming to get my exposures down as low as reasonably possible. And that's what I set about doing. And it was really just a very, very long, drawn-out process of trying different things. And that was how it all started, with this kind of basic EMF, what I call basic EMF protection, basic but rigorous, and that's the key. And so today I'm speaking to you on a desktop computer, just a regular, I actually am on a Mac, it's a regular desktop computer, with it's actually a low EMF screen that I've had a few of these now, and so that's an advantage. Although all computers and all electrical equipment gives out electromagnetic fields in some shape or form. And everything is wired. So, you know, it's wired. So I've got a regular modem. I don't have what many people have, which is like a live box, which is like an all-in-one thing where you get your internet and your TV and your telephone, and that thing is very difficult to control in terms of the EMS. I have a modem, which is actually a Wi-Fi modem, but with a Wi-Fi switched off, because it has a button on it which switches off the Wi-Fi. And so it's all wired, all a hardwired connection, and I've got a wired mouse, and I've got a wired printer, and I've got a wired keyboard. And so it's all wired, and I'm speaking to you through a wired headset.
Cool. Well, you mentioned the meter. I think is it called a Gauss meter that you can use to measure exposure? Don't you have a link on your website to something that you found was useful to you to use?
Right. So, really, the thing to understand very simply is, well, in a very broad sense, what I learned was that we live in an electromagnetic world. And so all this time I was kind of running away from all this. I never really, for 2 years, I was running away from it. And so I was denying it, and I just wasn't interested in learning about it. I wasn't interested in learning about electromagnetic fields. In fact, it kind of brought me out in cold sweats just thinking about it. Because really, obviously, I was, you know, frightened of this thing. And so my way of dealing with it was kind of to pretend it wasn't there, it wasn't happening. But then, after the episode in 2004, and then realizing that this was real, then I began to, because I kind of suspected it, obviously, but because I didn't have a solution or even the beginnings of a solution, I figured it was better to pretend it wasn't really happening. And then from 2004 onwards, then I really began to study it, and I've got now like a library of books on this. So I realized that we live in, well, it's not even an electromagnetic world, it's an energetic world, and because we are actually energetic beings, and our cells communicate through energy, through electromagnetic impulses. Our brains, our heart, it's all electromagnetic. And so we are, in every sense of the word, living in an electromagnetic world, because we are electromagnetic beings, but we are living in this increasingly electromagnetic world because of all these new technologies that are arriving. Well, really, ever since the cell phone particularly, but that brought in wireless, and obviously the later version of it, the smartphone, that sort of it became very, very had a very broad appeal because of, you know, these things are just so wonderful in a sense that you can do so much with them, but wonderful and deadly at the same time, in that there are these exposures which few people seem to be aware of, or at least few people really take it seriously. We're living in this, I'd say we're living in this electromagnetic world, and so what, you know, the question is, what can we do? And the truth is, there's lots of things we can do, and the first thing to do is to get a handle on your exposures, is to measure your exposures. Really, that's the first thing to do. And so most people, like me, they don't want to do that. And so, for instance, when I went out and bought my first meter, I bought the cheapest possible meter I could find on the market because I didn't really believe that it was going to help me. And then as soon as I got it, within hours, really, I kind of realized that this thing was really useful, and I was realizing all kinds of things. You know, it really opened my eyes. And then I got serious. And so I bought a better version, a lot better version. And that's really how it started. And then, so what I realized was that I needed to measure these electromagnetic fields. And you talked about in your introduction about the different sources, and, you know, cell phones and computers and Wi-Fi and so on and so forth. But what we also forget is that we are exposed to another source which is sort of, it's so part of our everyday life that we kind of forget it's there, and that is the electricity running through the wiring in our home. And so and there are, again, there's lots of studies about this. There's lots of studies on this whole topic, which, again, people are always surprised when I say that, because they're thinking, well, we don't get to hear about the studies. You know, how is that? Well, you know, that's another debate. But there are studies out there, thousands of studies on this. And so there are really four kinds of exposures which you can measure. And to deal with these EMFs effectively, you need to measure these four kinds of exposures. And I'll just explain to you very briefly what they are. So the first one is radio frequency radiation. And this is from devices like cell phones, like Wi-Fi routers, like cell towers, like cordless phones, and also microwave ovens. And then you have another form of electromagnetic fields, which is called electric fields. And the electric fields exist wherever there are variations in voltage. So it's all about voltage. You measure that in volts per meter, and you would have an electric meter to do that. And then thirdly is a category called magnetic fields. And that's what you were mentioning, which is which we measure actually with a Gauss meter, and so magnetic fields, which we typically measure in Gauss or Tesla or nanoTesla, but the most common unit is milligauss. You have magnetic fields wherever current flows, and the more current, the higher the magnetic field. And then fourthly is another category, which is called intermediary frequencies. And the common name for this is now dirty electricity. And these are frequencies which exist, which are between the normal electrical frequencies. So in the US, you're on 60 hertz per second, and in this part of the world, we're on 50 hertz per second. The cell phones are in actual gigahertz, which means billions of hertz per second, billions of cycles per second. And so these intermediary frequencies are between those, those high frequencies and those lower frequencies. And so what that actually means is, in terms of measuring, is that you need more than one meter. There's no one meter that we can do everything. And that is really the first thing to understand. So this is, and so people say, well, yeah, but where do I start? Well, where you start is, I always say to people the question, what is bothering you most? What do you feel? Because the whole, my healing path was very much a question of listening to my intuition, because there's something way smarter than intellect, and that's called intuition. And I wouldn't say I'm the smartest person on the planet, but I'm very intuitive. And so, you know, I figured out what I realized I wasn't the smartest person when I was doing my studies, because I seem to have to work a lot harder than some of my friends, and they could just kind of go in the classes and they remember everything instantly. And I had to kind of work at things. But I was very intuitive, and I picked things up about, you know, I've always been intuitive about people and got a sense of whether something's good for me or bad for me and that kind of thing. And so I always say to people, you know, if they're wanting to deal with EMS, you've got to start somewhere. And the first thing is to say to yourself, well, what seems to be bothering you the most? And then they'll say, well, it's actually the cell towers, or it's actually the smart meters, you know, the wireless utility meters, or something like that. And then in which case, I'll say, well, in that case, you need a device, a meter, which measures radio frequency radiation, and that's the starting point. So that's where you start with that, with one meter, just one meter. Get used to that meter and take readings with the meter, and then you can go further down the line with other meters, or possibly with children.
Well, how fascinating. I heard a story of one particular individual who was having serious neurological difficulties and was unable to find anything that provided any relief whatsoever. And after mm-hmm. some curious investigations, they discovered that there was some short-circuiting in their electrical wiring in their bedroom. And apparently, yes. Once that was repaired, all of a sudden the symptoms resolved.
Yes. Well, that's very common. It's unbelievably common. And one of the things is, because I talk to a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, people looking for solutions, people trying to deal with these exposures. And one of the things is that often people, they kind of get a bee in the bonnet about the cell tower, which is down the road, or the smart meter, which is the other side of their living room wall. And what I'm saying is they get focused on some external source of electromagnetic field. And they often, when we kind of start looking into this and by taking readings, what we nearly always find is that the culprit is actually, or the worst offender, should I say, is not the cell tower down the road, is not the smart meter, which is on the living room wall. It is actually something which is inside their home. Oh. And that's why, because there's always things which we overlook, and that's why I say it's important to get a meter or meters, because the meters don't lie. You know, the meters, most of these meters now, they've got sound function on them, they've got the flashing lights. And believe me, when you get the flashing lights and the lights are going red and you've got this thing and it sounds like a Geiger counter going crazy, then that is, you don't need, you know, any more motivation to start doing something and dealing with this thing. You cannot put it off any longer. And so very often it is internal. It is internal to the home or to the workplace. And wiring errors are incredibly common. And the other thing is that wiring errors, can you hear me, Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought the wiring errors, what I mean here is that wiring, you can have electrical wiring which conforms to the NEC code with the electrician's code, And at the same time, you can have wiring errors. And these wiring errors can go totally undetected for years, and they can cause notably massive magnetic fields. And there is a lot of studies linking magnetic fields to a long list of very serious diseases.
I talked with an individual from Maui just yesterday, and we had a discussion about this and that, and she said, well, do you know, everybody in Maui is getting rid of their microwaves and also their cell phones. Now, does a person have to seriously consider an option of saying, well, we need to take the microwave and put it into the garage?
Well, you know, for me to say that would be kind of ridiculous. Because I know that most people living with this, hearing this today, most people either they feel as though they've got no symptoms at all around these EMFs, or maybe they have. But even if they kind of have, then is anybody really in a position to, you know, throw the cell phone away and throw the microwave oven away? So I don't say that, and that's why I say get the meter. Because if you get the meter shows you what's going on. You know, like a microwave oven, that throws out a huge amount of RF radiation and a huge amount of magnetic fields. I mean, we're talking the other side of the room. You know, the thing is, these EMFs, they're invisible. Okay, so you can't see, hear, touch, taste, feel, most people, okay? you switch a microwave oven on, you can, somebody who's electrically sensitive, when I was at my worst, I could feel a microwave oven at the other end of the house through, you know, two walls. That's how much radiation, how much EMFs those things are pushing out. So my line has always been I'm not trying to convince anybody. I give people the fact, you know, you're asking me this today. I'm very, very happy to share this information with you. But I'm not saying to people, you know, you've got to pull down the cell phone towers and you've got to keep your microwave oven out and you've got to burn your cell phone. You know, because honestly, I love gadgets, and I'm all for progress, and I love the internet, and that's when it's a tremendous thing, because I live in France, and I've got my website, and it's in English, and so it kind of allows me to get the best of both worlds. So this technology is here to stay. So what's important is to use this technology safely, intelligently, knowing what the risks are. So once you know what the risks are, if you still want to use your microwave oven, if you still want to talk for hours on end with your best friend about whatever it is, you know, you talk about on the cell phone for hours on end, and people, that amazes me when I go out into, you know, into cities and places, just how much rubbish people can talk on those things. Then if you want to still do that, then that's okay. That's okay. Do that. That's your choice. But there are some facts to be faced on this, and that's what I invite people to do, is to look at the facts and look at them. There are plenty of facts. There are plenty of really excellent resources on this. And, you know, I'm not pushing my own site, because my site is really what I try to do on my website is kind of tell it like it is in very non-technical way that people can understand, and there is lots of resources on this, authoritative resources, for instance the Bio Initiative report, which is a report that came out in 2007, which reviewed 30 years of studies, over 2,000 peer-reviewed studies. It came out again in 2012, an updated version which reviewed thousands of studies again. We've got studies coming out nearly every day on this, which are pointing to the adverse biological effects and links with serious disease. So that's what I say to people is really look at the facts, wise up on this, and then it's up to you. You know, you take some action. But the other thing is, the reason I started my website is because I'm actually, as I said to you earlier, I'm not someone who goes around moaning and complaining about this, that, and so. Someone says to me, hey, how are you doing? I'm always doing great. Always doing great. And then if somebody says, well, are you feeling okay? Okay, well, so we'll have a conversation about, well, actually, you know, I've got this, that, or the other, whatever. But so, and that's the kind of, that's just the way I deal with life. So I don't believe in ramming this down people's throats, you know, like people are with religion and people are with different things, and they kind of get on their pedestal, and that, I believe, just turns people off. So I decided to do the website, really, and I'm a fairly private person, so it was a way of talking about this to people that were interested, and it was a way, really, what bothered me most with this whole MF question was for the kids, because I could not just sit there knowing what I knew, having gone through all that I'd gone through with these EMFs, with this, you know, this suffering that I went, there's no other word for it. I mean, I was really, I got to, you know, very, at one point it was really very, very difficult to function because everywhere I went, I was just being bombarded with these things. I wasn't feeling well in my own home. I wasn't feeling well out of my own home. You know, I wasn't feeling well anyway, really. And that's really what spurred me to do something is for the kids. And I say, because I've got two kids, and I couldn't just sit back and not do anything knowing what I knew about these exposures and what they can do to people, and particularly what they can do to young ones.
This is the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Network. I'm your host, Robert Rogers, and my guest today is Lloyd Burrell, whose website is www.electricsense.com. And so that's electricsense.com. I've seen some articles here and there on the research as pertains to cell phones, and there's some references to studies that appear to find that extensive cell phone use results in tumors, brain tumors. Is that consistent with the research you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually wrote a huge article on this last year, I think it was. And it's called 44 Reasons to Believe that Cell Phones Cause Cancer. And on that page where I put down, so I set out to really, because I wanted to talk about cancer and serious, because that is sort of the big question always is, can cell phones cause cancer? And so I spent a long time writing that article, researching it, and there are some really clear links. Cell phone radiation is linked to two types of brain tumors, gliomas and acoustic neuromas. And gliomas, I don't know if you know, but they're a very serious tumor, which people that get those only survive sometimes between up to 3 years, between 1 and 3 years. So it's a malignant tumor, which is particularly deadly. And also acoustic neuromas, which are non-malignant, the very clear links to those two types of tumors. And as I say, this paper I wrote, this article, 44 Reasons to Believe. So I just, because people think, well, you know, cell phones, cancer, whatever, I could put the same thing for cell phones and Parkinson's. You know, is there a relationship? It would be a little bit harder because we're lacking the studies. But there are studies on this, and very serious studies, notably the Interphone study, which was conducted between 2000 and 2004, which was a massive, massive study, which should have been published in 2005. It didn't come out until 2010. Why didn't it come out until 2010? Not because the science wasn't clear. The science was very clear because of the political infighting, because they found results which didn't go in the way that they wanted. They didn't want to show the link between cell phone and radiation and disease that the study was showing. And so that's, unfortunately, what is happening is that the science is being manipulated by vested interests, and that's one of the reasons why it's difficult to for people to really understand what's going on this question.
Lloyd, you have an e-book that you have written, EMF Protection e-book. Could you tell people about that?
Sure. Well, it's there's a lot of free information on my website. There is pages and pages, hundreds of articles on there. And so the ebook is a condensed form. It's really a solution. It's an everyday solution to dealing with EMF exposures. So it's like, what do I need to measure? What meters do I need to buy? How to use those meters? Do I need to shield? How to shield from these EMFs? So it's a very practical book, hands-on, explaining in no uncertain terms what to do. Because there's a lot of books now, or there's quite a few anyway, talking about some great books being written about on the EMF question. But most of the books are sort of 80%. Talking about the dangers, and then there's just kind of a few chapters at the end talking about the solutions. Whereas my book is just the opposite. It's really all about solutions. And that's the thing, is people that are affected by EMFs kind of think that there aren't solutions, but there are. There are lots of solutions. The way forward with this is with this avoidance and protection, very simply. And then when I say in a general sense for most people, and then for people that are have got symptoms, then it requires a broader approach, what I call a holistic approach to health, centered around EMF protection. So that means we deal with EMF first, we have a very rigorous approach to dealing with these electromagnetic field exposures. We do all that first, and then once we've got all those boxes ticked, then we look at everything else. And when I say everything else, I mean everything else, because EMFs are just one toxin amongst many, but I actually believe they are like a super toxin, in the sense that 2 + 2 = 4, 2 + 2 = 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 or 1,000, in the sense that these toxins, EMFs, combined with other exposures in our lives, and that can be exposures from, for instance, in the food we eat, the chemicals that go in there, the fertilizers and the GMOs and the pesticides and everything else, and through the toxins that we regurgitate through the environment, through the ozone layer, and through the toxins that we take in through the shampoo we put in our hair, the soaps we put on our skin, and so on and so forth. And then also very important is mental and emotional toxins. Because that's something that people overlook also, is the emotional side of things, and even the Center for Disease control in the US says that 85% of all disease is wholly or partly be attributed to our emotions. So that's really important. So yeah, that's in a nutshell the whole approach. But the book that you're referring to deals with specifically the EMF question and how to deal with EMFs.
And the title of the book?
Long-term EMF protection, rather unimaginative title, but it really says it all. And so, yeah, it's not about quick fixes. It's not about just kind of buying some diode chip sticker, whatever, and thinking, pretending everything is okay. It's about applying, well, using what science, you know, a scientific approach to dealing with your exposures.
So right now, I'm actually talking on a landline. It's concerned me now for quite a while about the use of cell phones. So I guess one of my strategies is to reduce the number of minutes that I spend talking on the cell phone. Do you have recommendations for people, just basic 1, 2, 3 recommendations, people who don't have these meters, who really aren't quite yet aware of the extent of exposure to them, but who do use cell phones, so they don't want to throw their cell phone away? What would you recommend that they consider doing in terms of changing the habits of how they use their cell phone to reduce the exposure?
Right. So, safe cell phone use. And I think everybody who's got a cell phone can use it in a more intelligent way, use it in a way that they're limiting their exposure. And the cell phone companies are actually, they've been working on this exposure question, but they're not kind of owning up to it. And one of the things that they've done in the last few years is they've introduced airplane mode. What that means very simply is that you can have a lot of the functions of your phone, for instance, the games, taking pictures, you know, your calendar, whatever, you can access a lot of the functions on your phone without it having the cellular connectivity, without it connecting with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or the cell tower. And so that is really the first point, is that if you do have a cell phone, a smartphone, then is to make use of that function as much as possible. And I really do not advise on carrying your cell phone on your person with it being switched on when it in a connected mode. So it needs to be in airplane mode. And that in itself is already a huge step. The second thing is when you do use your cell phone, there's an expression, text don't talk. Well, that makes a lot of sense. What we know about radio frequency radiation, what I know personally is what I felt that day in 2002. So believe me, the dangers are real. And I wasn't interested in the science. I wasn't interested in the studies. I wasn't interested in learning about EMFs. I did it because I kind of had to. So that's where I'm coming from on this. And what I can tell you is these exposures, they work in a, like many things, how many things work in nature, they work in an exponential way. And what that means is it's instead of, you know, having the graph where you've got a linear line, like a horizontal line, you've got like kind of this curve, physicists call this the inverse square law. And what that means is that these exposures fall off extremely rapidly with distance. And a simple way of putting that is that distance is your friend. And to put this in terms which everybody can understand, if you put a cell phone right next to your head, or you use it 6 inches away from your head. Well, if you use it 6 inches away from your head, then that reduces your exposure about 100 times, about 100 times further away than when it's stopped right next to your head, okay, which is like 1 millimeter away or whatever. So 100 times
huge.
Away, 6 inches. What that means in terms of your exposures is, because of this inverse square law, is that the actual reduction in exposures is actually 100 times 100, which is 10,000. So by using your cell phone 6 inches away, you have a 10,000-fold reduction in your exposure. So you can see what I'm saying here is that you need to keep the cell phone well away from your body, but particularly away from your head. And why away from your head? Well, just think about how a microwave oven works. How does a microwave oven work? If you put something like a dried pea in there and switch it on for 5 minutes, it's not going to do anything because it's dry. But if you put a glass of water, then it will boil that glass of water. And that's because the microwaves excite things with a liquid content. And the brain is about 75 to 80% liquid, as many of our organs are. And so that is why you should not be putting this cell phone next to your head. And so by having it 6 inches away, you can achieve a 10,000-fold exposure. And so really, so just to summarize, airplane mode, text don't talk, and if you do talk, then keep it away from your head. And one way of doing that is to use an ear tube headset. And there are headsets, most people have got wired headsets. The problem with wired headsets is that they can act as an antenna, picking up the ambient radiation in the environment and transmitting it straight up to your brain because it's a wire, it's a metal wire. Whereas an ear tube, it's called an ear tube headset, and there's information on my website or information on the internet generally, an ear tube headset enables the connection without having the metal wire.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, Lloyd, some people who are listening may then begin to take some steps, get some meters, do some analyses, but really feel as though they need some extra consultation assistance. Do you offer consultations to people?
I do, yeah. I do consultations, and I do also coaching. There's my website is a big resource. It's a labor of love, as I'm sure yours is also. And there is a lot of information on there, and people can also, there's a forum on there which is free to use. Well, everything's all, it's all free to use. People can also pay to use my services through consulting or through coaching. I also do coaching for people who are trying to deal with their EMF exposures. But before all that, certainly there's just a lot of information which you can avail of and interact with other people on there just through going on the website and using the search box at the top, putting in your question in there, and that will direct you to articles which will answer your question.
And how will people get in touch with you directly?
Oh, well, they can just send me an email from the contact form. There's a contact form on there, and just use that. I think it's on the top right-hand side, contact Lloyd. Just send me a contact through there. Yeah, sure.
You have covered some fascinating, useful, and helpful information for everyone. If there's one thing you would like for listeners to remember about this program today, what would it be?
Well, I say to people, don't take my word for it. But what I say is, if what I've said has aroused your curiosity in any way, it's my story. Remember, I did not set out to be the EMF guy, if you want. I did not set out to do this. I did not set out to learn about EMFs and talk about EMF dangers and try and help people with this. But I realized that it was, without doubt, the most important thing, the most important contribution I could make to this world. So what I say is, if what I've said has aroused your curiosity, and I don't expect to convert people here today that are, because of the people listening to this who are just totally having a very hard time accepting what I'm saying, that maybe their cell phone or their electricity in their home, or their microwave oven or their cordless phone, or whatever other device they use, and it could, you know, hair dryers or any electrical device, could be impacting their health. But I say, don't take my word for it. If I've aroused your curiosity today, just go on the internet and do your own research on this, and that is the way forward. And baby steps, just start making a few changes in your life, and keep your eyes open on this, because once you become alerted to this, you'll see there is actually quite a lot of information out there on this. If you've got children particularly, then it's important to protect your children.
Lloyd Burrell's website, once again, is www.electricsense.com. Lloyd, on behalf of the thousands of listeners of the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show, I want to thank you for an illuminating and, I must say, fascinating discussion of the hazards of EMF exposures.
My pleasure, Robert. Thank you for the invitation.
And that's what's happening on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you're hanging in here and listening to this radio show today, that you indeed are on the road to recovery. May you have a magnificent week. Good day.